Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Now, I can see you today, so I can't read my Bible. You know, I want to share this morning something which, I don't know whether you've heard this before. To my recollection, I think I've only ever preached and ministered on one occasion on this. And there's a very interesting word found in the scriptures. And we're not really too sure what it means, but I think most people agree that it means pause. And that's the word we find several times through the Psalms, which is the word Selah. Selah. We often omit it when we're reading the scriptures, as we read through, and I say its most common occurrence is in the book of Psalms. And as we read through the Psalms, very often we see this little word in our Bibles tagged onto the end of the verse. And I've heard a lot of people read this and they just skip over it. They don't even read it. They just follow because they don't think it has anything to do with what the scripture is saying. But because it's so prominent in the Psalms, and actually in the Psalms you'll find it 71 times, this word Selah. It's found 3 times in the book of Habakkuk, and so there must be some important significance to it. So what is this word Selah? Well, most people agree, and I tend to agree with them, that this is a musical term. It's a word that's put, because you know most of the Psalms are set to music, their songs and their prayers. And so it's a term that is used, a musical term that's used. That's why we find it mainly in the Psalms. And it gives direction to the musicians or to the singers. Now, we have, and I must apologize to those of you, and particularly Sister Ilaria, if I make a mistake in my pronunciation, because I'm going to give you a few Italian words. Because we have these words in music today. And they're there to give direction to the musicians and to the people playing. We have words such as largo, adagio, allegro, vivace. And those words are talking about the tempo of the piece of music. Largo, to be played slowly. Vivace, lively. Adagio, moderately. And this is one of the meanings of the word Selah. I'm going to give you 3 meanings of this word Selah this morning. And some people say that this word calls, when you see it in the scriptures, it's talking about a change in the key of the composition or in the tempo, in the speed. So either the pitch, it goes up or down. And actually, we had a good example this morning, Sister Isadora, in that song we were singing, Behold He Comes, riding on the air. She changed key on one of the final choruses. She lifted the key. You know, everything goes through change. And this is one of the most important meanings of this word. Because it's one of the most important selahs of our Christian life. Because everything goes through change. From the weather. Now, who would have thought that on Thursday we were baking at 27 degrees and now today we've got quite a cold wind blowing. It changes. Those of you that live here will know that the Maltese Islands can experience all 4 seasons in one day. We can go cold to quite warm to hot. Our bodies change. Our blood changes its composition constantly. We're constantly renewing new blood cells. A few more facts for you. We get new fingernails every 4 to 5 months. Our eyelashes only last about 100 days. Did you know you change your skin more often than you change your clothes? about every month your skin is replenished. You know, what an amazing body, what an amazing creator we have that's given us a body like that. You know, our whole bodies actually undergo a complete change. Now, it doesn't look like it, because we still have our tummies and we still have our faults. But our whole bodies undergo a complete change every 7 years. That's amazing. Everything changes. You know, and this, give me the first scripture, Chica. We're going to look at Psalm 85. It says this, it says, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob, and you have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. And here's this word, Selah. Is it on that one? No, it's not on that translation. A lot of the modern translations actually omit this word completely from it, as this one has done. But you have this word at the end of verse 2. You have covered all their sin, Selah. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. You know, the first great Selah of the Christian life is that of change, and perhaps the most important one, that we are changed from darkness into light. We are brought out of the bondage of sin into life. You know, it says it in this psalm, where the psalmist is reflecting upon this, talking about this change. And he says he's talking about the Lord forgiving the iniquity of his people. He covers their sin. Thank God that we've been forgiven. We've been changed. We're not the same person that we used to be. He brings them out of captivity, he says. Captivity to sin. And he brings us into the kingdom of God's Son. This deliverance, he delivers us from the wrath of God. And there's restoration which follows repentance. You know, when we repent of our sin, we're restored. You know, the psalmist David, he pens these words, but this was part of his prayer of repentance, which we have recorded in Psalm 51, where he says, Lord, he says, renew a right spirit within me. He says, don't cast me away from your presence, but he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. You know, there's restoration, there's forgiveness, there's a renewal of spirit. We're changed, we're constantly being changed. We're being changed from, Paul writes it, from one realm of glory to another realm of glory. Even as the people of God, we're going through change. And this is the most important Selah of our Christian life, that of change. We have a great promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, where it says that if any man or woman, I'll put that in, is in Christ Jesus, he or she is a new creation. A new creation. It's change. Now this is not change as in we're going to just put a sticky plaster on you and say, well, that's okay, you're covered, you're done, and you're better. No, this is a complete change, a refresh, a renewal. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. This is the first and great Selah of the Christian life. That of change. And if you haven't been changed, if you haven't been born again of the Spirit of God, then get born again. Be changed. You know, don't stay the same. Don't stay with the same lifestyle. You're not happy with your life? Well, get a new one. You're not happy? Get a new one. Now, you can't say that about everything. I better add that. Just because you have an argument with your wife or your husband doesn't mean say you go out and get a new one. You know, there's work to do, but there's still change to take place. You still got to come to that point where you change. Don't try and change your husband or your wife. You change. You know, we've got to go through this process of change. And we all go through change. We don't like change. No one likes change. Now, some change is for the better, but a lot of change may be for the worse. And, well, enough said about that. But change is good, especially where our sinful nature is concerned. Because we get rid of our sinful nature. You know, I love this, because I call this the great exchange. Where we surrender our sinful nature to God and He gives us His righteousness. He gives us His right. He makes us righteous. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. That's what the scripture says. Well, let's just move on, because time will run out on me. I know what it's like. The second definition of Selah is that some people say, yes, it's a musical term, but it talks about bringing the music to a climax or to demand a burst of praise. You know, we have, again, on a piece of music, if those of you are familiar with music, you'll have the terms like crescendo. To bring it up, to get louder. We have forte, these words which talk about this bringing the music to a climax. And we have a great scripture, Jesus, Psalm 66, thank you. Where the psalmist, he says this, verse 1. He says, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You. All the earth shall worship You and sing praises to You. They shall sing praises to Your name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing toward the sons of men. You know, this second Selah of the Christian life is that of a thankful, praising heart. You know, we are to be a praising people, giving glory to the one who has given us life, the one who's changed us. We praise Him that He's the Lord our God, He's our Redeemer. We give thanks to Him for the wonderful things He's done for us. You know, Richie's encouraged us this morning that, you know, God blesses us in many ways. You know, He provides for us. He directs us. He delivers, of course, He delivers us from sin and death. That's the greatest thing He's done for us. You know, we haven't got time this morning. I'd love to take time this morning. I'd love to keep you here so you're here for the evening service. But we haven't got the time to go in depth and look at all the exhortations in the Psalms where it encourages us to praise God. In actual fact, if we started, we'd have to run through a few days. Because the Psalms alone are just packed with them. Exhortations, encouraging us to give thanks to God, to praise Him. Why? Because it's a songbook, it's a prayer book. Let me just read a couple of these psalms to you, of these verses in the Psalms. You know, this is just the Psalms alone, the rest of the Word of God. When, you know, there's many more. One of the Psalms, in Psalm 32:7, it says this. It says, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Now we can thank God that He's delivered us. He saved us. In Psalm 68, We read these words from verse 32. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, Selah. To him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. You know that Psalm says he's praising God for who he is and what he's done. And he says, you're more awesome than your holy places. You know, I just feel the psalmist here, he's running out of vocabulary to express himself, what he wants to say about God. But there's another encouragement in Psalm 84 and verse 4, where it says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Selah. You know, when we get to glory, when we get to heaven, when we're with Jesus in the new Jerusalem, then we will still be praising him. We've got so much to praise him for. Now I know this, we have this worldly image that's portrayed of people sitting on clouds with harps, but it's going to be more than that. You know, we are just going to join in the greatest throng, the greatest meeting that there's ever been. You think of some of the great services you've been in. This one that's coming is going to top all of them. We're going to gather around the throne of God, and we're going to sing praises to the Lord our King. What a day that will be. Hallelujah. You know, so this second Selah of the Christian life is that we are a thankful, praising people, giving thanks. What does Paul write in the Thessalonians? He says, in everything give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will for you to be thankful. It's God's will for you to praise him. And I think, and I can look at myself, and maybe you'll agree with me, perhaps we don't praise him enough. We could thank him a lot more for the things he's done. Some things happen and we just take them for granted. That we wake up in the morning and we've got breath in our body. And we thank him that there's food on the table. Thank him that he meets our needs. Thank him that he loves us and saves us. You know, some things just happen to us and they go by unthanked. Wow, we've got so much to praise him for. Brings me on to the third, and really the last of the Selahs that I'm going to look at this morning. Because I said right at the very beginning, most people agree that this word means a pause in the musical piece. A time for reflection. And there's a great word, again, which is often found in musical pieces. And that's lacuna, which means, really, it's really an interlude, a short gap, a pause. And this is the third great Selah of the Christian life. And that's rest. Rest. Rest is vital to life. It is, it really is. It's vital to life. It's vital that we get rest. God rested from his creating. We have this recorded in the what we know as the Ten Commandments. And it says it in verse 9 to 11 of Exodus 20. It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You know why God told us to work only 6 days and to take a rest on the seventh? It wasn't so that we couldn't go and earn some money. It's because we need it. We need to rest. You know, it's vital for our existence, our life. God gave us this day so that we rest from work. It wasn't to spoil our fun and say that we can't do this or we can't do that. It's because he knows that we need to take time out. We need to rest. Here's something. Did you know that even your own heart rests in between beats? That we were made and created to rest and be still. We weren't created to be this working machine that works every hour, 168 hours a week. You wasn't created for that. You have to rest. In Exodus 23, here's a verse for you, verses 10 and 11. Sorry, Chief, I didn't give you this one, can you? Have you got it? It's something. I want you to see this. Even the land had to rest 1 year in every seven. It was not allowed to be cultivated. It was not allowed to farm it. It had to rest. Why? Because the land needs rest. And it says this in Exodus 23:10. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce. But the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow. Rest. What do you think of when you think of the word rest? Relaxing? Taking it easy? Putting your feet up? Well, one of the best words to describe this third Selah of the Christian life is this. Stop and think. And we have a great verse in the scriptures. In Psalm 46, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Rest. Now, yeah, stop and think. Just take a pause. Take a breather. Just contemplate. Just think about what this, in the piece of music when they had this rest, it was a time to consider what has been played. You know, just contemplate it. Meditate upon it. Ready for the next phrase. But when it comes to the Christian life, what are we to stop and think? We're to think what God has done for us. When we're reading the Word, we allow God's Word to take time to go from our head, because it's gone in our eyes. It's got to get down here. So stop and think. The pause is a time to meditate, consider, and reflect on what has been said. Another psalm which uses this word Selah, talking about resting, is found in Psalm 4, verse 4, where it says this, it says, be angry and do not sin. Now most of us forget the do not sin bit, we get angry. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate. So when you get angry, don't let it sin. Go the other way. Go to rest. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Selah. Rest. You know, our devotion is not meant to be hurried, but meditative. Now, that's not going to say that you're going to sit down and empty your mind. That's dangerous. That's not biblical meditation. In actual fact, meditation is quite the opposite. It's filling your mind with what God has said, thinking about it, pondering on it, considering it, praying about it, listening to what he has to say to you, pausing, allowing the truth of the message and the word to minister to you, to change you, being at rest isn't just about being still and quiet. You can be at rest in the midst of noise and everything that's going on. Because rest, and very often you see this in the scriptures, is talking about being filled with the peace of God. Knowing that He is God. And that He's with you. He's taking care of you. He's looking after you. He's leading you. He's directing you. You're walking in His ways. You know you're in His will. And you're at rest. There's a scripture in the book of Joshua, which says this. It says, the Lord gave them rest all around. This is Joshua 21, verse 44. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that He had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. Not one word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. You know, if God's word is coming to pass in your life and you see it working, you see His provision, you're at rest, you're at peace. When you're not at rest, do you know what you're doing? You're thinking about it, you're worrying about it, you're going over it. Oh, how can I solve this problem? How can I get out of this? You're not at rest. You're not at peace. But when you know that it's all taken care of, you can put your head on the pillow at night and you can lay down and you can shut your eyes and you can drift off into that sweet sleep. And you wake up in the morning and you feel good because you know that God has it in His hands. He's taking care of it. In Peter quotes Psalm 16 verse 9 in his sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he says this, he says, therefore my heart is glad. Oh, now let me go to verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. There's a time of rest. Jesus bid those that were troubled, and He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He says, and I will give you more trouble, more things to think about, more problem. No, He says, I will give you rest. He said, learn from me. He said, take my yoke upon you. He said, I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Even Jesus took time to rest. He took time to rest. To be still and quiet. To ponder, to pray, to listen to His Father. And even in the midst of turmoil and storms and trouble, Jesus was at rest. Do you know what happens when we rest? We come to that place where we know that He is God. And we can say everything is going to be okay. Everything will be alright. Why? Because He is God. Be still and know that I am God. Let me finish with one verse from the book of Exodus. And I love this verse. You know, Moses is having a conversation with God. And in Exodus 33, he speaks. God's telling them to move on. And Moses is asking, well, God, I want you to show me your glory. I want you to show me all your power and your goodness. And then they come to this point, and Moses says this to God in Exodus 33, verse 13. He says, now therefore I pray, Lord, I beseech you, if I found grace in your sight, Show me now your way, that I may know you. Show me your, so that I might know you. Be still and know that I'm God. He said, and that I might find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. So he's coming to the end of his prayer. He says, Lord, he says, if I found grace in your sight, he says, show me your way. He says, I want to know you, Lord. He says, I want to know more of you. And the Lord replies, he says, God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
I will give you rest. Amen. So here's three selahs. Again, it's a word I said at the beginning, it's not a common word, or it's not a word you often hear spoken, let alone preached about. The selah. Some say it calls for a change in the key or tempo. The first important selah is that we change. God wants to change you. The second one is that it calls for a musical climax or a burst of praise. We need to be a praising people, giving thanks to God for what he's done. Not just for the things he's done, but for who he is. And the third one, the most common definition of this word here is that there we take time to pause and rest in him. The third great selah, that of rest.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's give a hand to God.